In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. I hope that this microphone situation works. We ourselves have got somebody to come and look at things, but we haven't had them repaired just yet. So thanks be to God for that. But much credit is due to, normally I call him my good deacon, but he is my very good deacon. He spent all last night, when everybody else was doing all sorts of other things, he spent all last night trying to figure this out for you so that you'd be able to hear the Word of God. And so that is our very, very good deacon over there. Doing it all on his own. He doesn't like to be praised in this way. So afterwards, you can poke him a little bit or say something negative about him. That'll lower him and deflate him a little bit. But he's my very good deacon right now. And so we thank God for that. Now today, just a couple of things to announce. One is last night we had a beautiful wedding yesterday. And so remember to pray for that couple who just entered into the bonds of holy matrimony yesterday to begin their married life together. As we pray at each and every Mass, particularly on Sundays, for God to be in the very center of all of our families and to hold them together, because what did Our Lady speak through St. Lucia that at Fatima, that the final and decisive battle that will occur within the Church is against what? Marriage and the family. Marriage and the family. And so we are here to strengthen marriage and the family. And I will tell you, I won't embarrass them by naming who they are. If you know who they are, they're here at Mass today. So you can just thank God for their presence as well, because they obviously value Christ above all. That's why they were partying way late last night and are here real early in the morning. That shows you the quality of the couple. Beyond that, just look in the bulletin and you'll find something that's very helpful. Last week we didn't have the numbers for our fiesta so that you could see exactly how well you all did, and it was quite well. So go ahead and review all those things. And particularly, if you think of it, go and thank those who so generously worked and sponsored everything that we had here, and you can see what it is that they did. That is your work, and thank you for doing your great work to support our parish amidst all those that were fighting and militating against it. God is victorious and you all work that great work. Thank you for that. Beyond that, the words of the gospel are challenging. What does our Lord say? He says to us, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Words taken from Luke 14:26. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I apologize also if I knock this thing out of the way, because I'm an Italian, and that means that I talk with my hands a little bit, so it's probably going to happen at some point. So what does that passage mean? Our Lord is speaking to you and me here today about something that's very strong and important for you and I to latch onto. I'm sure one of these little ones, maybe not any of those on that side, but maybe one of our little ones would turn to you and a child is thinking, Father, look, I've already got this one. I already hate my brothers and sisters. So because of that, I've already got this. Or maybe a teenager is saying, I already hate my parents in this way. So Father, give me something that's tough. Well, you'd be surprised at how much even the little ones focus on the sermons in this way and what they take away from it. But the mature Christian doesn't think that way. The mature Christian really struggles with this. And why does the mature Christian struggle with this teaching of Christ? It's because of two things. They know what the faith teaches. What's the fourth commandment? You know. Honor your father and mother. And what is our Lord saying today? Hate your father and mother. And so that's a struggle. It's a struggle. And so what is our Lord really getting at right here? Well, he's a Jew. And there's a common teaching in Jewish circles as well as among the rabbis and as well among others as well that you speak through hyperbole. That's a good tool to use. Hyperbole. And what does that mean? It means that you make an exaggerated claim that makes a very, very clear point, which is true and correct, but shouldn't be taken to its literal extreme. That's what our Lord is doing right here. What is our Lord doing? Jesus wants to show you and me the full cost of discipleship. How? By beginning to rock our world if we actually listen to what he says. He wants to show you and me that the esteem that we have for the very person of Jesus Christ who is God, that the very obedience to he who is our Lord has to be so radical that even the demands of our most important earthly relationships must always take a back seat. What our Lord is saying is that there's no greater contrast in the mind of his hearers and probably among each of you than the reality between the love that we have and the word that we use there to hate. There could be no greater extreme that he's bringing about in the minds of those who he's speaking to strip them of what needs to go away so they can hold what is most important to be as important as it is. Let's be clear. The loving of Christ, the loving of our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we must hate our families. But sometimes it might seem like it means that, or other people will receive that it means that. But the bottom line is there has to be a question of priority given within our lives. For one example, let me give you an example that came up recently. I was having a discussion about this very thing with a good young lady from Colorado, Denver area, and we were discussing these issues together earlier this week. You see, there's a wave of non-practicing Catholic young ones, children, who are making decisions to force their practicing Catholic parents to choose between family relationships and between their faith in God. Choose between family and faith. And what it is it comes from a spirit of narcissism and a spirit of entitlement that has taken over so many within our culture. It's an emotional terrorism that these kids wage against their families and particularly against their parents. And the parents who've experienced this know how gut-wrenching that situation can really be because they felt the weight of it. Maybe many of you who are here. The most common example of this is when a Catholic child is choosing to marry somebody outside the Catholic Church. And they expect that their parents not only are ones who should approve of this illicit marriage, but also attend this false wedding, which is no marriage whatsoever. And what makes it so gut-wrenching is the parents don't hate their children. But they actually love their children so much. And at the same time, they love our Lord Jesus Christ and the faith which he has given them and the truth so much as well. So what does our Lord say in the gospel? Let's go back to it. What does he say there? He says a lot of really good things in the gospel for you and me to take to heart. What he says here is he says, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, something that really irritates me, on a deep level, what goes on is when I find some people who believe in Christ. Most of the time they're Protestants, but Catholics do this too. And it annoys me because they come up to me and after a conversation with me, they'll say with a big smile on their face and with great joy in me, despite the fact that they're not dealing with any difficulty or hardship that's really pulling at them in a strong way. And they say, well, Father, you know what? I just want to carry my cross and follow Jesus. That's what I'm all about. And I look at them. And what I often want to say, I don't say it out loud. I do want to bring a correction. But what I want to say is I want to say, you know what? I would really believe those words that are coming out of your mouth if our Lord said, whoever doesn't take up his blanket and follow me is not worthy to be my disciple. But he didn't say that. What you're dealing with, he's talking about a real cross that is there. Do you remember how it is that our Lord faced his own cross? What did he do? Where was he? Let's go back to the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, what was our Lord dealing with as he was facing his cross? He was taking the full weight of his cross as he went alone to pray with himself, leaving disciples and disciples back behind, and he went before them off to pray. And in Matthew 26, these are the exact words of the scripture, our Lord says, it says that Jesus, he began to be grieved and distressed. And then he turned to those disciples and said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And then what happened? He began to pray, he knelt down, and his sweat became such as drops of blood from the great anxiety that he was. Then he fell down prostrate, leaning face down onto the ground, and he said, Father, if there be any other way to take this chalice away from me, do it. What do we see there? We see that our Lord, who is God, in his own humanity, wavered. He wavered even for a moment at the face of his impending cross because he knew everything that was coming before him. We see that our Lord Jesus, who is God, had real fears. He had a real anxiety-inducing stress over the cross that he was about to bear. But the naive Christian is so overconfident and can say with a smile, you know, Father, I just want to take up my cross and follow Jesus. If you can do that, it's probably unlikely that you actually have a real cross at the moment. This is a very difficult thing and totally contrary to Christ. Let's look back at that example. The example that our Lord puts before us and what we're dealing with right now, those children who are forcing their parents to choose between family and faith. With the good Catholic parents, what's going on within them? They're absolutely torn apart. They're torn apart because they want to support their sons and daughters because they deeply love their sons and daughters. They love their children, but their kids are asking them to do what? To endorse their sin. They're asking them to endorse and to participate in something which is a public scandal. The scandal that of a Catholic being married outside of the church, which is not possible. It can't be a valid marriage outside the Catholic church. And effectively, the kids are saying to mom and dad, they're saying, look, mom and dad, I know that you believe. I know that you have faith. I know you're Catholic. But this is what we want. And if you don't put your relationship with Jesus Christ aside and come to our wedding, then you don't love me. Mom and dad, make a choice. Me or Jesus. My sin or your faith. Now, they don't usually put it in those stark terms. They don't usually say it in that way, but let's be honest, that's exactly what it means. And what is this? This is emotional terrorism. Emotional terrorism with the highest stakes possible of familial relationships. When parents come to me, and often they do asking in a distress over situations just like this, they're very hard conversations that we got to begin to have. We got to really do a lot of trauma work with this. But just so you know that I don't judge people from a comfortable sideline position, from an armchair quarterback and saying, this is what you got to do, being totally uninvolved in the situation. I tell you that I myself have had at least 3 times within my own family where I've had to make that exact same decision. And many, many close friends, even my earliest childhood friend, did this very same thing. In particular, that one asked me to perform an illegal ceremony for them, something that would be a mortal sin and would remove me from the priesthood. Such little care did they have for me. And that hurts. It hurts so deeply. So when I say these things to you, I'm not saying it from the sideline, because I know what it costs to be forced to choose between my faith and between Jesus Christ, between my gift of the priesthood and between what my friendship and family relationships really are, those expectations of family members. And so when you ask the question, well, who then is the bad guy in these situations? It's not the faithful Catholic who's been pinned into a corner. Who's the baddie in this situation? It's that family member who's not only willing to put their relationship with Jesus Christ, which should be first in their lives, to the background, but also expects their family members to love them more than God. And even more so, to celebrate that sin instead of embracing Jesus Christ, who is the very center of their life. You know, I know a couple here within the diocese. I didn't ask them permission to tell their story, so I won't identify who they are, though they probably wouldn't mind. I know a couple in this diocese here, when their kids arrived at high school age, they sat them all down for a family meeting, and they were very sternly charging them with something to make sure that they knew what was going on. These are the words they said. They sent it to me in an email long ago, so that's why I have it written down. This is what they said. They said, "Children, our highest priority is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so please don't ever force us to choose between you and Jesus Christ, especially by getting married outside the church and expecting us to attend the wedding, because we will not do it. We're telling you this now so that you won't put us in a position and then get mad at us for standing firm in our faith. And if you ever do this, you will be responsible for what happens, not us." That's real love and the truth. That is really taking up one's cross. That is really gut-wrenching stuff. Maybe some of you remember Deacon Pat Houlihan. Do you remember Miss Pauline Houlihan Johnson, both of them deceased, real pillars of the community, have done so much for us. You remember them? Well, what they would talk to me about, they shared it with me, Pauline did rather, that they would often talk about the great number of wedding invitations that they would get from nieces and from nephews, from grandchildren and cousins and dear friends' children who they helped throughout the years in their great philanthropy and great friendships that they built up. All these great wedding invitations from those that they loved that they had to turn down because they were being put in these situations. How it broke their hearts. But they stayed home and prayed the rosary for the conversion of those couples. That's real love. That's taking up one's cross. That's living out of the gospel. Brethren, this is what carrying the cross looks like. This is what following our Lord Jesus looks like. This is what it really is, and our Lord doesn't want us to hate our families. That's not really what he's getting at. But he doesn't want us to love them without the truth. Love only makes sense in the context of truth. And if Jesus had some hesitation in taking up his cross, which he certainly did in extreme form, recorded in the scriptures for you and me, then it shouldn't surprise you and me, us, when we, as weak mortal beings, sinful in the whole, squirm when we're facing our own crosses. Especially when we realize what it really is going to cost us to follow Jesus. Jesus' words are challenging to us, not because he asks us to hate our families. That's not what's challenging about it. It's because he calls us to the difficult task of actually and truly, really loving them. Loving them in the fullness of his truth, all the way to the end. And here's the strange irony in all of it. That if we actually begin to carry up our own crosses and really follow Jesus because we love him most, more than anything else, and because we love our families enough to live the faith in our active lives and not just within the silence of our own hearts, the irony is this, that the rest of the world is going to call you and me what? Haters. They're going to call us haters if we begin to do this. Haters because we don't embrace the twisted ways of the world. Because we don't give into an entitlement attitude of family members who've fallen away because we want to stay true to Christ. And we want to preach always the truth, always in love. Jesus tells us that the authentic love for others has to be rooted first and foremost and above all to love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and with all our strength. And then after we do that, firmly rooted in that, not losing that in the least bit, then to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, including our children. But this may occasionally lead us to be forced to choose between Jesus and between a loved one. What did Jesus say a few Sundays ago? Do you remember it? Our Lord said these words in this long passage. I'll give you the full. It actually reiterates our gospel today. He said, "Do you think that I have come into the world to bring peace? No, I tell you, but rather the sword. And to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's own foes will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will find it." Those are the words of the gospel. And so what it means is that for you and me to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that we can't have naive illusions about what carrying the cross really is, that it's going to in some way be easy, something that we're going to be able to say with a huge, big, joyous smile on our face, unless we're truly, absolutely, 100% converted. Following Jesus not only can be very hard, it always is very hard. Because following Jesus with an unshakable faith, or rather, when you follow Jesus with an unshakable faith, it is actually the only path to real, meaning authentic love, love in the truth. And how do we know that it's the only way? It's because you and I have been given the perfect example, which always hangs before you and me when we enter into the church. Also, when we enter into our home so often, that is the example of the cross. Because that shows you and me that Jesus blazed the trail of his love for us, that his words, his actions, that they were strengthened by that uncompromising love. A love that was poured out always and forever for you and me, in no matter what difficulties or strangeness, twisted moments in our lives that we get into. Our Lord Jesus, he knows what it's like to go before the Lord in sweat and tear and distress and anxiety, and to stretch himself out and say, Father, this cross, it's too much for me to bear. Just take it away from me. If there's any other way, show me it, and I'll do it. But not what I will, Lord. Your will be done. We have a Savior who knows everything about the difficulty of your and my human condition. And so what do we know? We know that he will be with you and me all the way until the bitter end, to bring you and I to the eternal glory which lies beyond. It's the promises of Christ. And when you and I struggle, our Lord struggles with us. He paved the way. He loves you and me and strengthens you and me through it all. So with his grace, we put our trust in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.